It's the Jerry Bader Show.
.10:06, quick note for you folks in Green Bay before we get on to the topic that we're going to do in earnest in this segment. I had mentioned earlier that apparently Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt was caught on a hot mic in an appearance. I don't know if it was Facebook Live or whatever, but WFRV. And he seemed to say that he wasn't seeking re-election in 2019 and was going to make it official later today. Several people who have listened to it says, yeah, that's what he says, that he's not going to run again. And it now, Fox 11 says the mayor has confirmed he will announce his future political plans this afternoon, that Schmidt has confirmed that to Fox 11. And as they point out, after being convicted of three misdemeanors for violating campaign finance reporting laws, he survived an attempt to remove him from office and pledged to serve the rest of his term, but has not commented on plans beyond that. Again, the video appears to show him not realizing it's a hot mic, saying, yeah, I'm not going to run again. I'm going to announce it later today. But he apparently did not confirm that to Fox 11, so we will get his word later today. All right. Now, big news, and it is, I mean, it's front page and it's the big state story today. Wisconsin releases this year's school report cards. Now, the mainstream media is playing it, talking, of course, mostly about public schools. However, there is an element here that is important for those who follow the school choice issue in Wisconsin. As the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty put it in their release, results are a game changer for school choice. The report cards include two major changes from previous years: the full inclusion of private schools in the choice programs and the use of student growth as a metric for school performance. Joining us now to discuss this, and I have no shame in saying I wasn't going to handle this myself, I'm calling in a PhD, Dr. Will Flanders from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty joins us. Dr. Flanders, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, though. I'm sure you could handle it.
Oh, you are not sure of that. I'm not sure of that. Will, don't be sure of that at all. I'm glad we have you, though. I want to start with the release. The state-mandated report cards, this is you talking, are a game-changer for school choice. When differences between schools are controlled for, private schools in the choice programs and public charter schools now show significant growth. Our analysis shows that students in these school choice programs have, on average, 8 to 24% higher student growth than traditional public schools. How do you control for these things? How do you even the playing field? Talk about that.
So first of all, I think it's important to consider the concept of the difference between growth and proficiency. Proficiency rates are simply the number of students in the school that are at the level of achievement that the state judges to be appropriate. But growth takes into account that a lot of students start from different places. We know there are a number of factors that tend to influence a student's performance, unfortunately, for example, coming from a lower income background, and sometimes even different demographic characteristics tend to influence student achievement in the classroom. So growth looks at where do we think this kid will be next year versus where they are. And the argument is that the effect of the school on achievement is the difference between that projection and what they actually get to. And what we see is that this argument that we've heard from choice schools for a long time, that these students aren't the upper crust. They're not the students that are coming in that are being creamed from the best of the public school crop. What we see instead is that these students tend to be behind. They're missing something in their traditional public school, and these schools are effective at helping those students achieve greater growth than the traditional public schools.
So how, and this is a really interesting point, because you're right, there's that benchmark that we use to measure schools, and what you're saying is look at from here. Here's an example I would give is if I'm working with my friend Joe and I'm trying to bench press 175 pounds, and then I go to a trainer And I don't get to 175 pounds, but I get from 90 to 140, where I wasn't moving at all in the other environment. We should take that into account, correct?
Exactly. You know, we like to think that all we want all kids to achieve, and we hope that eventually students can reach that proficiency level that the state would like to see. But in order to get to that level, you need to first be moving in the right direction. And what the growth scores on the report card show is that these schools tend to be moving students in the right direction. Though, of course, we don't want to say it's across the board. These are on average, and there are, of course, exceptions, schools that are performing better and schools that aren't performing to the same level. But on average, Choice and Charter are doing pretty well in growth.
So that was your first observation. Student growth is significantly higher. Bullet point number two, student proficiency is significantly higher on average, 4 to 11% higher in private schools in the Choice programs and public charter schools when compared to traditional public schools. Talk about that finding.
Yeah, so even when we look beyond this growth measure that we've just mentioned, when we look at the actual raw proficiency numbers, the number of kids that are achieving what the state expects the student to be able to achieve at their grade level, even when we look at those numbers, we see that Choice and charter schools are significantly outperforming traditional public schools, again, controlling for a lot of other factors that we've mentioned that are important. In the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, we see about, on average, 4% higher proficiency rates. And then in our charter school sector, we see 8 to 12% higher proficiency rates. So these are meaningful differences that can make a difference in a kid being held back or succeeding in their school environment.
Talking with Dr. Will Flanders of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty on choice schools options and public schools as new report cards come out. I want to share this with you, Will. A headline in the Green Bay Press Gazette, and I'm assuming it's a similar story in the other Gannett papers. Wisconsin releases this year's school report cards. Officials urge caution when analyzing results. They say that they should be cautious because of some of the changes in the way that as you talked about, the way that these things are being measured. So are there caveats or asterisks to be had in these numbers?
So I think with any sort of new system, and we're in our second year of the new report card system, there's always the need to have caution. And what they're discussing in that article is there was a good deal of volatility. So there was a lot of school districts that experienced a big change from one year to the next. Part of that may be attributable to this new growth measure that's been utilized in the past couple of years. But I don't think that makes the results meaningless. I think there's still something to be seen, particularly in the choice schools, where this is the first year that we have growth data. I think there's something that can be gained from these results, even if there is a little bit more volatility and a little bit more year-to-year change than we might like to see.
You refer to these numbers for school choice as a game changer. Explain that. How should this translate into policy?
So if you talk to practitioners, if you talk to educators in the field or folks that work in the choice and charter sector, for years they've told us that we need to be looking at growth. We need to be looking at the extent to which these schools are making up for deficits that these kids come to them with from the public schools. Now we have the ability to do that. It's something that even hasn't been researched extensively around the country because that data doesn't really exist. And so this is one of the first times we have comprehensive growth data on choice schools, and we see that it confirms what we've heard from practitioners. These schools are doing a good job catching kids up. What I think that means for the Wisconsin Parental Choice Programs is that we should still be working to increase access. We should still work on giving more kids the opportunity to access these schools, which whether you look at growth, whether you look at proficiency, whether you look at criminal behavior, across a host of different factors, these schools are doing a meaningful job in improving performance.
A quote from you in the release, school choice offers children a number of benefits, including a safer environment and religious teachings. But the newest school report card results make clear that families in Wisconsin don't have to sacrifice educational quality to get those other benefits for their kids. The ball is now in the court of policymakers in Madison to keep expanding school choice so that more children in Wisconsin can take advantage of these successful programs. I think where you call it a game changer, as you know, opponents of school choice have tried to throw shade on the academic achievements. Does this finally silence their argument?
I think we're building a very good case in Wisconsin that over time the choice sector is improving performance. The negative studies that tend to be pointed to by opponents are a couple of studies from Louisiana, which was a very young program, and also a program that was subject to a great deal of regulation. Some would make the case the Wisconsin program is overregulated as well, but it's important to sort of isolate those Louisiana studies as sort of a special case. And as we build from the great work that was done by folks at the University of Arkansas through the School Choice Demonstration Project, they found higher proficiency rates in Wisconsin. The work that we've done over the past 3 or 4 years has shown higher achievement rates and now higher growth rates as well. I think we're working pretty effectively to make the case and close the book on the argument that, that choice schools don't do a good job in terms of academics.
Well, and as you said, but the key now, though, is the ball is now in the court of policymakers in Madison. This is my characterization, and I'll let you comment. I think Republicans who do support expanding school choice have been overly cautious in the rate of growth.
That's right. So we did achieve, and it, you know, it's an important achievement that we were able to raise the income caps on the statewide right. program to 220% of the poverty line. But that still doesn't match the income rate of students that can access the program in Milwaukee and Racine, which is 300% of the poverty line. Ideally, you know, if you look back at the work of Milton Friedman and the sort of the foundational theories of school choice, we'd like all students to be able to access the program. Yeah. But moving up the income caps and finally eliminating the enrollment caps on the program, on the statewide program, I think would go a long way in improving access and letting more kids have these opportunities.
And the, and as you know, as we're talking with Dr. Will Flanders of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, when you argue for school choice, the label that's often put on you is that you're anti-public school. And you know, with Tony Evers in the race for governor, this is going to be a big issue. In fact, you can understand that there are very good public schools, and I understand this still wouldn't be a free market. But if should it not be the argument that competition should make everybody better?
Absolutely. Our perspective is that we're not a pro-voucher organization. We're not a pro-charter organization. We're a pro-good schools organization. And we think that by bringing, as you mentioned, market characteristics into the fore, allowing schools to compete, and allowing parents to have the information they need to make these choices and put their child in the best school, that over time, we'll see public schools improve, private schools improve, we'll see charter schools improve. So a rising tide lifts all boats is something that that we believe in here, and we're absolutely not an anti-public schools organization. We're encouraged by some of the improvements we see in public schools as well.
Dr. Will Flanders of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Will, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Yep. I think it's huge. I think these findings are big, and those critics who have argued that there's actually a negative impact to academic growth, I just think it blows that out of the water of choice schools. 1019.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.